Hey, you want that to go?
Voices of our listeners coming up in just a moment, but our first takeout is with Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, who wants to talk tactics. Good morning, Todd.
Morning, John.
So, Robert Gibbs was on Fox News Sunday yesterday. It was all about health care reform. Listen to this and tell me if you think the administration hasn't set itself up to fail one more time here.
We'll have the votes when the House votes, I think, within the next week. And I think whoever sits here this time next week, you all will be talking about health care reform, not as a presidential proposal, but as something that will soon be the law of the land.
Call me crazy, Todd Zwillick, but has Robert Gibbs sort of led with the positive, maybe? Isn't the lower expectations game the better tactic here?
No, I don't think so. Not going into a bill as big as this, one they've been trying to pass for as long as this, they, you know, instead of saying, well, we might get it done, we'll try to get it done. No. You say, we're going to the floor. This bill's going to pass. That's the game plan. I think you're right, John. Look, there is a risk of saying we're going to get it done and then have it not get done, of course, and it's a big failure. But hey, Robert Gibbs said that. It's his job to take an arrow for the president if this thing goes down. But a statement like that puts pressure on Democrats. The public listens to Robert Gibbs and now expects that bill to pass. So there is going to be unbelievable pressure all around from Nancy Pelosi and the whip team. You heard from James Clyburn, the Democratic whip,
right,
a couple minutes ago in the headlines.
Who
from
said
the White
maybe
House
there
the
wasn't the votes. I mean, he was a little more negative.
Not yet, but that's the whip's job, to round up those votes. And they're doing all kinds of stuff this week to get those votes. Memos started coming out before the weekend and over the weekend, reminding members of all the positives in this bill. Medicare donut hole, that big gap in grandma's drug coverage, closed, more money for lower income and middle income people to afford insurance. And by the way, there was a flurry of activity at about 11:30 last night. A bill came out. It's inconsequential. It's sort of a shell bill to get this process moving today. But the one important thing is that we know from this this bill that came out last night that about $70 billion in education money for these Pell Grants, loan assistance, tuition assistance, is going to be in this bill in the reconciliation package. And a lot of Democrats really like that. They've wanted this education money a long time.
And as you said last week, that's really aimed at pulling the progressives along so that nobody sort of backs away, even though there's no public option in the health care reform part of this. All right, what about the tactics? As we get down to the wire, there's more tactical games that can be played, and it seemed like Virginia Republican Congressman Eric Cantor was talking about that on Fox News Sunday when he got on the air right after Robert Gibbs.
And the alarming thing that I'm hearing now is that Speaker Pelosi is thinking about bending the rules and, frankly, making it so there's not a direct vote on the Senate health care bill.
What is he talking about there, Todd Zwillick?
It's infuriating to Republicans. You have the Senate bill, which has to pass the House. We've said that. And we've said that Democrats in the House hate the Senate bill. So they're going to have this package of fixes in the reconciliation package. What Cantor is talking about is a notion, and we're going to find out by midweek if this is what they're actually going to do. Take the reconciliation package, which is very popular, easy to pass. All that nice stuff that I talked about a minute ago is in there.
Right.
Very easy to pass.
Right.
You put that on the floor, and you have a vote on that. And the rule that encapsulates this whole thing just says if you pass that nice reconciliation package, the Senate bill, which you all hate, is deemed passed automatically. The beauty of that, you never have to cast the vote that you really don't like. We'll just wink and nod and say it's passed if you pass this other thing that you like.
So procedurally, it just glues the two bills right together. They pass in one fell swoop, and then it's all about the president's signature. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, thanks so much.
Sure thing.
Lynn?
Our next takeout comes from you, our listeners. I hope you remembered to spring your clock ahead yesterday. We gained an hour of daylight, but nearly all of us also lost an hour of sleep.
Yeah.
Some lucky people in Hawaii and Arizona got to sleep in. Yeah, it's tough for this program. But we spent last week having a little fun with the change. We asked, since we're losing time, what do you wish you had more time to do?
This is Nancy from Farmington Hills, Michigan. And if I had an extra hour as a working mom, I would use that hour to do something that I want to do, not for my family, whether that's workout or do a hobby.
Hey, I'm Thomas Freeman. I'm driving to Hilton Head right now, and if I had an extra hour every day, I'd sell it.
So, John, how much would you pay for that hour?
Thomas Freeman's hour? I don't know. 50 cents, 60 cents. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thetakeaway, and you can share your take there like Patricia did. She says, I'm a geek, so I would use the extra hour to do more research. We actually heard from a lot of writers who said they would stop procrastinating if they had an extra hour. Brian, the pragmatist, says he'd do laundry. Although, Brian, if you only have an hour, that's just one dry cycle. I don't know.
And if you go over to our site, thetakeaway.org, Evelyn says, I'd spend the hour with a therapist trying to figure out why I fret so much about not having time to get things.
That'll work.
And Jenny in Miami writes, sleep, she writes, I once read about a scientist who seated himself for several months in a room with no natural light and no clocks. Colleagues monitored his movements and discovered that before too long, he had settled into a 25-hour daily cycle. So, she says, maybe the reason humans are tired and cranky all the time is because we're forever trying to cram 25 hours of life into a 24-hour day.
Interesting. I love that. I would use my extra hour for sleep, by the way, Jenny. I'm with you. That's interesting. If you want to read about that story, there's a link to that article and all on thetakeaway.org. And speaking of getting an extra hour, folks. Good morning, Baltimore. Little clip from Hairspray there. Our friends in Baltimore get an extra hour of The Takeaway starting today. We start on WEAA an hour earlier at 6 a.m. Eastern. Good morning, folks. We've got more stuff for you to weigh in on. We're talking the census. We just learned about which communities are shrinking in the United States. We're looking for you to tell us why the population may be shrinking in your community or growing, if that's the case. Tell us the signs of population shifts in your neighborhood at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And you can post it to our site, thetakeaway.org. And we have a contest on the takeaway.org. It's a six-word slogan on the news, like the State of the Union. Remember you did that?
I hope we still can.
On second thought, maybe we can't.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
This guy lies through his teeth.
Quit fighting and get the job done.
All those would make great T-shirts. Weigh in at thetakeaway.org.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.